Hare Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his travels from Jagannath Puri towards Vrindavan, has reached Prayag, the holy confluence of the Ganga, the Saraswati and the Yamuna. Having reached Prayag, he naturally took his bath in the Triveni Sangam. Triveni refers to the three rivers and Sangam refers to the confluence. Having taken his bath, he also had darshan in various holy places like the famous Veni Madhava temple. He stayed in Prayag for 3 days and then later went on to Mathura. The various places that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to are important for us to know because we would also like to go to those places. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Shuddha Bhakat prayer says, Gaur Amar Jeshav Sthane Korala Brahmana Range Sheshav Sthane Heribo Ami Pranay Bhakata Sange. It means, Jeshav Sthane Gaur Ama, that means my Gauranga, my Gauranga, in whichever places, Jeshav Sthane, in whichever places he wandered, Brahmana, Brahmana Karalo, Range, in great happiness, I would also like to see those places and visit those places. In the company of loving devotees, Pranayi Bhakata Sange. So because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to those places, that's reason enough for us to also want to go to those places. So that's the reason also Kaviraj Goswami is mentioning these places in detail. He even talks about many places Mahaprabhu visited when he went to South India and some parts of Western India soon after he took sannyas. So having left Prayag, he moved on towards Mathura. Now you will all remember that when Mahaprabhu went on his pilgrimage tour to the holy places in South India, as he was walking, he was constantly chanting and dancing. And just by looking at him and by hearing the transcendental sound of the holy name, millions of people became devotees. Anyone who saw him or heard him became devotees. And not only that, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that those people who had become pure devotees just by seeing Mahaprabhu and hearing him chanting the holy names, when they went to their villages, then those people became devotees by looking at these people. And then when those people went further somewhere else, those other people became devotees by looking at them. In this way, this was just like you have in an atom bomb, a chain reaction that eventually leads to an explosion. So there was a bhakti explosion. Thousands upon thousands of people became devotees. So this, a similar thing happened when Mahaprabhu was going through all these holy places. And as he moved on from Prayag towards Mathura, he encountered many people and all those people were delivered simply by looking at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaviraj Goswami also mentions that on the way he encountered the river Yamuna many times. And he immediately jumped into the river Yamuna without any consideration. So his servant Balabhadra Bhattacharya was in constant anxiety because it was completely unpredictable what Mahaprabhu would do and when. So he always had to be on high alert at all times. And then when Mahaprabhu would jump in, he would not be in his external consciousness. So he wouldn't know what he was doing. So then Balabhadra Bhattacharya would have to be around to protect him. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like a shadow. He would never leave him for a moment. In this way, Mahaprabhu's ecstasy increased more and more as he moved towards Mathura. And everywhere, thousands and thousands of people were delivered. And then eventually, he entered Mathura. When Mahaprabhu came to Mathura, in great ecstasy, he offered prostrated obeisances to the holy dham. And his ecstasy increased manifold. He went to the famous Vishram Ghat and he took his bath there in the river Yamuna. As you know, there are many ghats. A ghat is usually a place where there are steps that are made to descend into the river. And there are many such holy places where ghats have been made. You will see in Varanasi also, and then in Vrindavan, Mathura, there are ghats like Keshi Ghat. So Vishram Ghat is the main ghat of Mathura. And it is said that after Krishna killed Kamsa, he came here and took rest. So the word Vishram means rest. So then this ghat commemorates that pastime. So there are many other ghats in the Mathura and Vraj region. So first, Mahaprabhu came here. It is also said that when one begins the parikrama of Vraj Mandal, that means the entire Vraj region, then one starts here at Vishram Ghat. So from Vishram Ghat he went to Keshav Dev Mandir. Keshav Dev Mandir marks the birthplace of Krishna. The great-grandson of Krishna, that is the son of Aniruddha, who was a son of Pradyumna, who was a son of Krishna, his name was Vajranab. He was instrumental in reviving many of the, or installing many of the main deities of Krishna, the original deities of Krishna, in Brajabhumi. It is said that he installed 16 deities and they were carved out of special stone called Braja also. And amongst them there were two Naths. Nath, one was Gopinath and the other was Srinath, Srinathji, who was worshipped initially by Madhavendra Puri on Govardhan. And then out of fear of the Muslim invaders, he was transferred to Nathdwara in the present-day state of Rajasthan in India. Then there are two Gopals. One was Madan Gopal, who later became Madan Mohan. Sanatan Goswami obtained this deity from a Brahmana called Chobe in Mathura. And his family was dealing with the deity of Madan Gopal in a very familiar way. The children were playing with the deity and the deity was playing with them. So it was a very intimate and familiar relationship. And Sanatana Goswami was aghast. He said, how can you deal with a deity like this? And then Krishna came in his dream and said, why are you spoiling my fun? You know. So Chobe, of course, was feeling very reluctant because now Sanatana Goswami had come and rebuked him. So he was very careful. But Krishna didn't like it. In any way, Krishna appeared in Chobe's dream and said, now I think the time has come for me to accept service from Sanatan. So then after he came to Sanatan, then he became known as Madan Mohan. So Madan Mohan is one. He's the first Gopal. And there's Sakshi Gopal. You've all heard of this famous story of Sakshi Gopal. Now the deity is in Orissa, Katak, near Puri. So these are the two Gopals. There are also some Mahadevs, there are some Devis, and there are also four Devas. There is Govindadev in Vrindavan. There is Haridev in Govardhan, and we'll talk about him shortly. There is Baladev in the place called Baladev. And finally there is Keshav Dev in Mathura. So these four Devas they are the main presiding deities of Vraja. So Keshav Dev in one corner in Mathura, Govinda Dev in Vrindavan, Hari Dev in Govardhan, and Baladev in Baladev. So in the four parts of Vraj, you have these four devas. So Mahaprabhu came to Keshav Dev, also called Keshavji Mandir, the birthplace of Krishna. And he had darshan there. He was ecstatic. When he had darshan of Keshav Dev, he began to dance and chant in great transcendental jubilation. As he jumped and danced, people who had come to have darshan of Keshavji, they were struck with wonder. And they began to glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and say that we have never seen ecstatic love of Krishna like this. Now this Keshavdev Mandir has in recent centuries become a place of controversy, because at the place where the Keshavdev Mandir was, the Mughal emperor broke down the original temple and constructed a huge mosque. So it dwarfed the Keshavji temple. And then recently, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, around the time when Prabhupada was writing the purport, there was a huge temple that was being built in the very same place where the Keshavji temple was originally. And Prabhupada says there was donations taken from many rich Marwadis. Marwadis are certain business class people in India who are very pious. Well, not anymore so much, but they used to be. So a huge temple was constructed which dwarfed the mosque also. So next to the famous Ram Janmabhoomi place, which is the place of number one controversy in India, this is the number two controversy. So there's a huge amount of security there. But anyway, when in Prabhupada's time there wasn't so much, there weren't so many security issues at that time. And when Mahaprabhu went there, of course, that was before Aurangzeb's time. So people would freely come in. So when these people saw Mahaprabhu's chanting and dancing, they were all struck with wonder and they all began to chant and dance. And they all became pure devotees. And they all came to the conclusion that this must be none other than Krishna. Because no one can exhibit such transcendental symptoms of ecstatic love. At that time there was one elderly Brahmana who had come in. And as soon as he saw Mahaprabhu's chanting and dancing, he also joined him. He first went and fell at his feet and clasped Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, and then joined him in dancing and chanting. Mahaprabhu was surprised to see the ecstatic symptoms exhibited by this elderly Brahmana. They chanted and danced for a long time. Thousands upon thousands of people were influenced and they joined them in the dancing. Finally, Mahaprabhu took this elderly Brahmana to a solitary place, sat him down, and had a heart-to-heart talk with him. He said, "My dear Brahmana, you are very elderly, very cultured, and you are very advanced in spiritual life. Now, the kind of ecstatic symptoms of love for Krishna that I am seeing manifesting in your body, they are very extraordinary. They are not commonly found. So please tell me, what's the secret? How have you got this transcendental love for Krishna?" So then the Brahmana began to speak. He said, "You see, there was a great saint called Madhavendra Puri. And in the course of his travels, he happened to come to Mathura. At that time, I had the good fortune of having his darshan and meeting him. And very kindly, showing great compassion on me, he accepted me as his disciple. And therefore, it is only because of him that I have got this transcendental love for Krishna." When Mahaprabhu heard of this Brahmana's connection to Madhavendra Puri, he immediately offered full obeisances to the Sanodiya Brahman, to this Brahmana. The Brahmana became fearful. So this sannyasi is offering me obeisances. I'm a householder. And so he also, in great fear, offered obeisances back to Mahaprabhu, full obeisances. Then Mahaprabhu became very embarrassed. He said, no, you should not do this. You are on the platform of my spiritual master. You are a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So you should not offer obeisances to me like this and embarrass me. And then the Brahmana replied, no, you are embarrassing me actually, because you are a sannyasi. And how can you do this to me? Please don't offer obeisances to me. But anyway, by looking at your ecstatic symptoms, I guess that you must have some connection with Madhavendra Puri. Otherwise, this kind of ecstatic love for Krishna is not seen. So then Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was standing nearby, he explained Mahaprabhu's connection to Madhavendra Puri. Of course, Mahaprabhu's Diksha Guru was Ishwar Puri, and Ishwar Puri's Diksha Guru was Madhavendra Puri. So now the Brahmana understood how Mahaprabhu was manifesting such ecstatic symptoms. You see, in our sampradaya, the Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, the place of Madhavendra Puri is very significant, very important. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself considers Madhavendra Puri to be the original seed, the bud, from which the tree of ecstatic love of Krishna began. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, according to Kaviraj Goswami, is the trunk of the tree. The roots, of course, were the eight sannyasis who were his associates, like Paramananda Puri and so on. But the bud, the actual seed and the bud from which this all began, was Madhavendra Puri. Even though Madhavendra Puri had some connection with Lakshmipati Tirtha and through him to the Madhva Sampradaya, but this kind of ecstatic, spontaneous love of Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan was never before seen in the Madhva Sampradaya. The Madhva Sampradaya devotees are generally devotees in the mood of Vaikuntha. They worship Lakshmi Narayan in the mood of awe and reverence. But here was Madhavendra Puri who inaugurated, so to speak, the love of Vraja or Vrindavan. And the characteristic of the love of Vrindavan is the ecstatic, spontaneous love with a certain degree of intimacy. Actually, depending on the degree of elevation of the devotee, the level of intimacy and ecstasy just grows. So Madhavendra Puri, so to speak, was the inaugurator of ecstatic, spontaneous love of Krishna in the mood of Vraja or Vrindavan. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So therefore Madhavendra Puri's role is very, very important. So when the Brahmana heard this, he was overjoyed. And they embraced each other. And then the Brahmana invited Mahaprabhu to come to his house for prasadam. Now Mahaprabhu happily agreed. The Brahmana then took some grains and gave it to Balabhadra Bhattacharya for him to cook. You see, Mahaprabhu's practice was that whenever he was invited at the homes of different Brahmanas, they would call him home, and then Balabhadra Bhattacharya would come and he would cook personally, because he would not eat from the hands of anyone and everyone. Of course, one must be very careful in this regard, a good lesson for us. Kaviraj Goswami elsewhere says, Vishaira anna khaile dushta haya mana. That means if you eat food from the hands of a sense gratifier, then the mind becomes polluted. And in such a polluted mind, it is very difficult, near impossible, for love for Krishna to emanate. So one should be very careful when one where one eats. Preferably one shouldn't eat out in karmi places where we don't know what kind of people they are. Actually, you know, they're not devotees, so we shouldn't eat there. So Mahaprabhu was always very careful. And even sometimes when he ate at the house of traditional brahmanas, he was careful. They would respect the etiquette and they would give the grains and the ingredients to Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who would then cook himself. And then Mahaprabhu would honor that prasadam in the house of that brahmana. So this brahmana also followed a similar etiquette. And all the more so because he came from a community that was called Sanodiya Brahmana. Now you see, it's very intricate and complicated, this whole thing about different groups and castes and subcastes and in India. In those days, in Mahaprabhu's time, it was very rigid. So Mahaprabhu didn't want to rock the boat too much at that time. He was more interested in giving Krishna prema to everyone. Therefore, even in Puri, he didn't rock the boat with the pandas. Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami didn't venture to enter into the Jagannath temple, although they were the most qualified people to do so. And Mahaprabhu also, apparently, there is no reference that he took up the cause, because he had his own transcendental purpose to achieve. Maybe a time will come, hopefully in the near future, when even Western devotees and devotees from non-Hindu backgrounds will be allowed inside the Jagannath temple. So in any case, the Sanodiya Brahmins are a community of Brahmanas, but they are considered in a slightly lower category than other Brahmanas. What's the reason? There are certain classes of Vaishyas, and there are high-class Vaishyas and low-class Vaishyas. So there are certain Brahmanas who deal with the high-class Vaishyas, and there are certain Brahmanas who deal with the low-class Vaishyas. Srila Prabhupada talks about this elaborately in his purport, but we won't get into it now. And those low-class Vaishyas, they drink liquor and they eat meat. The high-class Vaishyas don't do that. And there are certain Brahmanas who cater to the low-class Vaishyas. So therefore, those Brahmanas are also considered in a lower category. And therefore, sannyasis would traditionally, generally, not eat in the house of these brahmanas, these lower category brahmanas, but they would eat in the house of the upper class, quote-unquote, brahmanas. So there was such etiquette and tradition to be followed. So the Sanodiya Brahman also was respectful of that tradition and he didn't want to change it. So he also offered the grains and ingredients to Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook. But Mahaprabhu said, no, I will eat food cooked by you. So please cook, and I will eat everything that you have cooked. And then Mahaprabhu said, Yadyad acharati shreshtas tattad evetarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. He quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita that as the leaders in society do, so the common man follows. So Madhavendra Puri had set this example. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for him that was good enough. If Madhavendra Puri deemed it fit to eat in the house of this Sanodiya Brahman, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was more than happy to do the same. However, the Sanodiya Brahman was apprehensive. He said, my dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are supremely independent. You can do whatever you like. Who can restrict you? But nevertheless, if people start criticizing you for having eaten at my home and thus transgressed the etiquette, I will feel terrible. I will not be able to tolerate that. Then Mahaprabhu began to speak and he spoke this one very important verse. And we'll chant that. Yes, because this is an important verse for us as well. Mahaprabhu said, you see, the Vedas, the Puranas, and the statements of various sages are often at variance with each other. There is some conflict sometimes, some difference. One Purana says something, another Purana says something else. Maybe one Veda says a third thing. Some sage says another thing, a fourth thing. So it can be very confusing. And then he says, how does one understand what's the right thing to do? In the midst of all these apparently conflicting injunctions, what does one know the right thing to do? Then he quotes this, he speaks this verse. Srila Prabhupada's translation. A devotee's behavior establishes the true purpose of religious principles. The behavior of Madhavendra Puri Goswami is the essence of such religious principles. Please repeat. A devotee's behavior establishes the true purpose of religious principles. The behavior of Madhavendra Puri Goswami is the essence of such religious principles. So, very important point being made by Mahaprabhu. Sometimes the scriptures, not sometimes, very often, the scriptures give very diverse conclusions and injunctions, and for an ordinary person or even an extraordinary person to fathom the true import of these statements is very difficult. Therefore, one understands that by the behavior of a devotee. Now, what kind of a devotee? Not any ordinary devotee. We must be careful. When it says a devotee's behavior establishes the true principles of religion or purpose of religious principles, we must know that we are talking about devotees like Madhavendra Puri, not just an ordinary devotee, because an ordinary devotee may sometimes behave improperly. So that cannot be our standard of behavior or the standard of religious principles. So when you have Mahajans, great personalities like Madhavendra Puri, then whatever action they do sets the standard. And that is the point Mahaprabhu wanted to make. And then he follows that up by the famous, of course the purport here is very long, many pages long, so I will not discuss the purport. And then he quotes the famous, Mahaprabhu quotes the famous verse from the Mahabharata. Tarko pratishtha shrutayo vibhinna nasavra rishiryasya matam nabhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajanam yena gatah sapantha. By argumentation and dry logic, it is impossible to understand the true meaning of dharma or to understand the absolute truth. Tarkaha apratishtha, not possible by tarka or argumentation. And neither is it possible by mere study of books, reading of books. One reads this Veda and that Purana and this Upanishad and that Agama Shastra. One will get thoroughly confused. Nasav rishir yasya matam na bhinnam. There are many rishis or munis who speculate and come up with various types of faulty conclusions, and each one differs in opinion from the other. That's actually what a muni is supposed to be. You're not a muni worth your salt if you agree with another muni. You have to come up with something original. Just like a PhD thesis, you know, you're supposed to do something original. You're not supposed to just plagiarize or copy what somebody else has done. So similarly, a muni who is a speculator, he comes up with something unique, something new. And therefore they all disagree with each other and the common man is left thoroughly confused. Of course, we also have the genuine munis, like Narad Muni, for example. They are the types of munis we want to follow, because they are firmly established in the proper devotional conclusions of the scriptures. And their life is a perfect example, just like the life of Madhavendra Puri. So dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. So the essence, the secret principles of dharma can be understood by the Mahajans because it is in their heart. How does one understand what is in the heart of the great devotees, the Mahajans? By their behavior, by their words and by their actions. Therefore, Mahajano yena gatah sapantha. So one has to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees. So Mahaprabhu stated this very important principle for us. Because Srila Prabhupada is another such Mahajan, in the modern day and age, he has established through his behavior, through his actions, through his teachings, many standards for us. And sometimes people may look at this Purana or that Shastra and say, well, how come you people do this or how you do that? So then we remember this verse. And we say, yes, this is the standard set by the Mahajans. So then happily the Sanodiya Brahman served Mahaprabhu Prasadam. In great ecstasy, Mahaprabhu partook of the Prasadam. And then he requested the Brahman to show him the various holy places of Vraj. They went to all the ghats, the 25 ghats in Vraja. Vishram ghat is the main one, but there are many others too. And the Brahmana took Mahaprabhu to each of these holy ghats where many, many pastimes of the Lord had taken place. And then Mahaprabhu wanted to go to all the different forests of Braja. Actually, there are 12 forests, main forests, as you know, Dvadashavana. But these are only the main forests. Great devotees have identified more than 138 such forests. Some of them are smaller in size. But nevertheless, the 12 forests are considered the main forests. And of these, there are 5 forests on the east of the Yamuna and 7 forests on the west of the Yamuna. So Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami describes, traveled to all these forests, one after the other. And Vrindavan is one of them. So when we talk of Vrindavan, we usually refer to the municipality, the municipal town, the modern-day town of Vrindavan. But that's not actually the Vrindavan that we refer to when we speak. Of course, in general we may say, I'm going to Vrindavan. It means you're going to Vrajabhumi. Or if you are in Braj and if you are in Barsana, you may say, I'm going to Vrindavan. Then you mean the municipal town of Vrindavan. But originally the meaning of Vrindavan was the forest of Vrindavan, which is one of the 12 forests. And that part actually extends through not just the current day municipality town of Vrindavan, but also to various other places around, extending all the way up to Govardhan, in fact. So that is Vrindavan. So there are many, many other forests like Bhadravan, Bilvavan, Lohavan, Bhandiravan, Mahavan. These are the forests on the eastern side of the Yamuna. And then on the western side of the Yamuna, you have forests like the Madhuvan, Talavan, Kumadavan, Khadiravan, Kamyavan, and then Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu visited each of these forests. The word vana, Prabhupada explains in the purport, means forest, but it's not like a normal forest. It's full of green vegetation, or at least it used to be. And these places, they are called forests because they were flush with all sorts of beautiful flowers and creepers and trees and so on. And Vrindavan specifically, because it is the forest where Tulasi or Vrinda Devi grows very profusely. So Mahaprabhu, accompanied by the Sanodiya Brahmana, went to all these forests. Kaviraj Goswami explains that when Mahaprabhu used to be in Jagannath Puri, he was always absorbed in ecstatic love of Krishna. And when he left Jagannath Puri and traveled on the road to Mathura, then his love increased 100 times. And as he entered Mathura, his love increased 1,000 times. And when he was wandering through the forests of Braja, his love increased 100,000 times. And therefore we can well imagine what a difficult service Balabhadra Bhattacharya had on his hands. And the Sanodiya, fortunately he had the Sanodiya Brahman with him to help him. Otherwise it would have been really hard, because Mahaprabhu, as he was traveling, would exhibit such extraordinary symptoms that it is not possible for any human being to exhibit, because he is Krishna and he is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So the ecstatic symptoms of Mahaprabhu are not possible for any human or any jiva. So the Sanodiya Brahman and Balabhadra Bhattacharya would always lift up Mahaprabhu. Whenever he fell down, he would jump into the Yamuna sometimes he would fall on the ground, sometimes he would roll on the ground, and there were thorns in the ground, and then the two of them would have to bend down and make sure Mahaprabhu's body wasn't hurt. Whenever he heard the word Vrindavan, he would go into ecstatic trance when he was in Jagannath Puri. And now when he was physically in Vrindavan, we can well imagine, or perhaps we can't imagine, the kind of ecstasy that Mahaprabhu experienced. And he was constantly chanting and dancing and sometimes falling and calling out, "Chant Krishna, chant Krishna." And as they moved along, there came a large herd of cows. And there were cowherd men along with them. The cows saw Mahaprabhu and immediately came and circled him and started mooing loudly by seeing Mahaprabhu. And then they all gathered around him and started gazing at him, and those who were near him started licking him. This is the way animals, of course, express their affection, by licking. But of course the bulls, their tongues are very, very sandpapery. So not as smooth there. So if you go to a bull and he starts licking you, then you can be prepared for a rough touch there. So anyway, these cows were all licking Mahaprabhu, and they were mooing in great ecstasy, and Mahaprabhu was saying, "Chant Krishna," and they were chanting Krishna. And this went on for a long time, and the cowherd men had a hard time separating the cows from Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu was walking on and these cows were following him. And these cowherd men were really getting worried. So with great difficulty they brought the cows back. And then as Mahaprabhu went further down, there were many deer, does and bucks who were around. And they also started surrounding Mahaprabhu and came up to him and started licking his body. Now generally deer are very fearful creatures. If you step near a deer, then you know it runs away. That's the nature of deer. But with Mahaprabhu, they all came close by, they started licking his body, and Mahaprabhu started caressing their bodies like he did with the cows. And he said, "Chant Krishna." And the deer were also dancing and chanting in ecstasy. And then all the living entities in Braja, as Mahaprabhu walked, came to get darshan of Mahaprabhu. The bumblebees came, the birds came, and the bumblebees and the birds were singing in the fifth note, Kaviraj Goswami says, the same note in which Krishna used to play his flute at Vanshivata. And he used to beckon the gopis to come. And then the birds and the peacocks, then when Krishna saw the peacocks with their necks having a bluish tinge, then he would fall soon in ecstasy, because he would remember Krishna who had a similar complexion. So the peacocks would come around him, the birds would come around him, the bees, the animals of all sorts, so much so that even the trees and plants and creepers of Vraja were eager to serve Mahaprabhu. As Mahaprabhu went there, they would bend forward and offer their fruits and flowers to him, just as they did when Krishna was moving around in Vraja. And that's explained by Shukadev Goswami in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Mahaprabhu would embrace these trees embrace the creepers, and then he would embrace the deer, he would embrace the cows, and they would all be absorbed and thoroughly immersed in ecstatic love for Krishna. And then he came upon some parrots, a male parrot and a female parrot, Shuka and Shari. And they were up on a branch, and they saw Mahaprabhu, and they came and sat on his finger. And then they started talking amongst themselves. Mahaprabhu, of course, understands all languages. And so the Shuka, the male parrot, began speaking verses in glorification of Krishna. And the female parrot, Shari, began speaking verses in glorification of Srimati Radharani. So he was saying, Krishna is so great, endowed with so many nice qualities, and she was saying, no, actually Radharani is greater. Just look at her qualities. So there was this transcendental debate going on between the two of them, and each of them was speaking these nice verses, and Mahaprabhu was happily watching them and hearing them, experiencing great ecstasy. And this way Mahaprabhu moved on and on in the 12 forests. And as he came back with the Sanodiya Brahman and Balabhadra Bhattacharya, finally he would have prasadam and he would rest for the night, and he was completely oblivious of anything to do with his external body. He would eat and bathe and sleep only out of a matter of habit, not out of any necessity. In this way Mahaprabhu continued his journeys in the forests of Vrindavan. And tomorrow we'll continue on with the journey of Mahaprabhu and where he went and what he did in the onward journey. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?